Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. I'll begin reading the last part of verse 18. Paul said, I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, and taught you publicly and from house to house. And now, behold, I go bound in spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul knew about suffering. Paul did not always know where it was coming from. Yet he said, none of these things move me. Paul's testimony was, I shall not be moved. These are some lessons that we learn from the people of faith. God's people of faith receives his approval regardless of the present circumstances or the outcome. By faith, some escape. By faith, others endured. James was executed while Peter was delivered. God is sovereign in his purposes. He does what he does and allows what he allows. The heroes of faith were people of whom the world was not worthy, yet they did not receive all the things that God had promised. The reason was not the quality or quantity of their faith, but the purpose of their God. One of the important things that I learned from these lessons is that people of faith wait on God's reward. The heroes of faith in the Old Testament waited. Abraham waited. Moses had to wait, not because of lack of faith, but because of God's sovereign purpose. God's program is bigger than any individual. So Abraham and others became models, not just of waiting, but waiting in faith. The heroes of faith longed to see immediate fulfillment of God's promises, but it was not to be. When Paul spoke those words that have encouraged millions over the years, when he says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. I believe that Paul had in mind Eliza, one of God's chosen saints, who lived 170 years before the birth of Christ. You can find his story in 2 Maccabees, the 6th chapter. Eliza was constrained to open his mouth and eat the swine's flesh. He refused. And his friends told him, you don't really have to eat this flesh. Bring some food from home and eat that and pretend that it was the swine's flesh and you can live. Eliza said, for though for the present time I shall be delivered from the punishment of men, yet shall I not escape the hand of the Almighty, neither alive nor dead. And if I pretend to eat this meat, he says, many young persons might think that I have eaten this, and they, through my hypocrisy, desire to live a little time and a moment longer, should be deceived by me. For though for the present time I shall be delivered from the punishment of men. Yet I shall not escape the hand of the Almighty. And then Eliezer said, Manly will I show myself, and leave a notable example to such as be young, to die willingly and courageously for the honorable and holy laws. The writings tell us that he, choosing rather to die gloriously than to live stained with such an abomination. And then the writer goes on to say, This man died, leaving his death for an example of a noble courage and a memorial of virtue, not only unto young men, but unto all his nation. I believe that Paul had this man in mind when he says, Neither do I count my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the writer of Hebrews wrote verse 35 of chapter 11, where he says, Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. I believe the writer had in mind the seven brothers and their mother who were taken and compelled by the king to eat swine's flesh. One of them spoke up and said, We are ready to die rather than transgress the laws of our fathers. The king was so outraged that he had his tongue cut out, his body mutilated as his mother looked on and roasted in the fire. This was done to one child after another until they got to the youngest. The king told him and assured him with an oath that he would make him both a rich and happy man. He also told him, I'll take you for my friend. I'll trust you with my affairs, if he would turn from the laws of his father. He refused. The king called his mother and exhorted her that she would counsel the young man to save his life. You know what the mama did? The mama, laughing the cruel tyrant to scorn, spoke to her son and said, Fear not this tormentor, but being worthy of your brothers, take your death that I may receive you again in mercy with your brothers. And then the writer says, The mother was marvelous above all and worthy of honorable memory. For when she saw her seven sons slain within the space of a day, she bare it with a good courage because of the hope she had in the Lord. She exhorted every one of them in her own language, filled with courageous spirits and stirring up her womanish thoughts with a manly stomach. I believe that the writer of Hebrews was familiar with these books of Maccabees. First and Second Maccabees was written about 170 years before the birth of Christ. These books was a part of the Bible that Paul read and preached from. If you have never read these two books, I would suggest that you read them for yourselves. They give us great examples of men and women who were strong in the Lord, who had faith and made faith choices, even between the books of Malachi and the book of Matthew.